Welcome back to the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. We hope you all had a great Thanksgiving weekend, or whatever you did last week. I try not to judge. I am Triforce Todd, and joining me today is Wario Will.
I hope you enjoy your Thanksgiving dinners and all, and Black Friday deals. But I just gotta say, for me, I'm just glad for my good Lord and Savior, RNGesus, Jesus, and because I got all the generals from Muspelheim in Fire Emblem Heroes, and now I'm just trying to get the last member of the Nepo army.
Save it. Save it, you. And Telly's Tyler.
I am so tired of getting woken up at 3 in the morning from either of you two posting, "Bing! Look what heroes I pulled!" And then Will or Todd, whoever doesn't get one, immediately posts their next hero, and then I crack up, and then it's worth being awake because the other one goes, "Oh, dot, 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 I can't believe you got that one." And then the other one goes, "Well, you already got that one. Shut up. You're lucky." No, you're lucky.
That's not inaccurate.
Because weren't you, Tyler, always up at the witching hour? You're the first ones of us who stay at the witching hour. For me, I just wake up at the dawn of 6 o'clock Eastern time. Thank you.
You're right. I did start the witching hour, but since then I have cooled off and I have not witched. And I think that's probably why I haven't pulled as many 5 stars. Although today I did get both Surtur and Giggler. Yogglier.
What?
However, on back to back, it was
that's
great.
Unfair.
Following him up right now. I hate you. I hate you. I hate you.
Oh yeah. Oh, we're gonna vent about this because it's time to find out what have you been playing. I'll go first because I think I've been playing the most significant things. But let's get the hero stuff out of the way. So a while ago, before we took our break, there was a banner for Surtur and Yugler, or whatever you say that girl's name, and I had 300 orbs.
Ooh.
I had 300-ish orbs. You know, I had been saving up a lot. There hadn't been a lot of good banners for me to pull from, et cetera, et cetera. And I start going. And remember, there's his blue and green. So I start pulling and pulling and pulling and pulling and pulling and pulling and pulling. Then I paused. Then I pulled and I pulled. And I got Jack. I mean, I was up to 8%. Or something.
What?
Kid you not, I had blown 200 orbs just pulling blues and greens to try and get one of these two. Just one. I would have been happy with just one. And finally, I got a 5-star. Dorcas. Yeah. So I'm no. So I haven't gotten either. And this, Tyler, is why we do these tweets at 3 a.m. Because what you pulled. Oh, I got him back to back. Screw you, hippie. So... Then they announced, so I'm at 100 some odd orbs at this point. So I start saving up, and then they announced the legendary banner where we get Hagrid as the legendary hero. And so I go into it thinking, okay, I'm going to just pull Red, because he was a swordsman. And I'm like, okay, this will be fine. So free summon, wheel turn comes around, I have no Reds. I'm like, that's fine, it's the free summon. Just get it out of the way. So I knew I had some characters that I didn't have in the blue section, right? So I go and pull blue. What do I get? 5-star Lucina. Which was awesome because I did not have this Lucina, and now I thought it was pretty cool that I got the bow Lucina. So I was like, okay, this is a good start. So I start pulling and pulling and pulling and pulling and pulling and pulling. And I mean, I've gotten at least one red in all but one summon. And thankfully that summon didn't get me a non-red 5-star. And one time I had 4 reds, got Jack. I mean, I'm not getting any of the 5-stars. This is an 8% chance every single pull. And I'm not getting it. I got up to 10%.
Wow.
What happens? This is a Q&A. What
nothing.
Happens? Nothing. Exactly. I got no reds on this pull. So I'm like... Okay, what do I do? And I remember, Hector. Hector had a lance one. So I pulled a blue. And what do I get?
Not Hector.
I got Lucina again.
Hey, you got a plus one now.
True. And so I'm losing it. I'm like, this cannot happen to me again. Again, I'm glad I got Lucina. I am. But two, seriously? So I just took a 1-minute break, recollected myself, and I went back into summon. I'm at 45 orbs at this point. And I go and I have 3 reds. Go to the first red. Pull it. Who do I get?
Hagrid.
Hagrid. And I'm like, okay, I can breathe again. So I'm like, this is the weird. This is why I hate what you got, Will, because not only did you get Hagrid, but then you got your final misspelled general, and I only got who's the X guy?
Crap. Who was the name? Shoot. Yeah.
Him. Whatever. Anyway, but so yeah, that's why I was mad, because you're like, oh, I got all four generals. I'm like, I got one.
I mean, it was pretty hard to get Sura in the first place. Like, I was like really trying to like, okay, give me some blues and greens. Okay, like any member, I'd be very happy, because we were just one member away from having the full set. So like, I was like, okay, come on. And oh yeah, I got Sura, and Sura's pretty amazing on the
I know.
Race.
He's so powerful. That's why I wanted him.
Yeah, and
Anyway, but we're moving away.
And
I'm
just
here,
to answer your question, is Helbindi.
Helbindi. I knew it was that something. I couldn't remember anywhere. But yeah, I got him, and now I'm okay with him. He's actually a pretty good character. But now I have none of the other Moosefell generals, which is hilarious, because again, I had 8% summoning reds, and I couldn't get Levantine or her whatever her name was.
Latavian.
So, Latavian. Thank you. So. But aside from heroes, I am the only one on NEP who has been playing Pokemon Let's Go. And I got Pokemon Let's Go Eevee. And I'm in this weird place because, okay, I'm about halfway through the badges. Not through the game, through the badges. That's a big difference, trust me. I'm enjoying it. I am. I really am. But there are some things that really hold it back. For those who don't, no, somehow this is a game between this is a game that is a fusion between Red, Blue, and Yellow and Pokemon Go. So it takes like the overworld, the character battles, the storyline of the original three titles, but then throws in the capture mechanic, the leveling up mechanic of the Go mobile game. On the surface, it's kind of a good fusion, but for core players like us, it can get really annoying. I mean, I'm sure, even though I would recommend this game to both of you, I know you're going to get annoyed with the capture mechanic and having to aim the Pokeball and having to catch, like, I kid you not, I have caught more Pokemon in Pokemon Go than I usually capture in most Pokemon titles, period. Not because there's a lot of Pokemon out there, it's just I need to capture these bloody Pokemon so that I can level up my Pokemon.
Yeah.
I mean, and again, on one hand, it's okay, because there are times when you can capture a Pokemon and get like 1,000 experience points, and it goes across all your Pokemon, and like everyone gets a level up, and it's awesome. But then other times you capture Pokemon that you think is going to give you a lot of EXP, and you get like 79, and like that's not very helpful. So it's this weird thing. And then the capture mechanic, I swear, it's so arbitrary. It's like, it's almost like an RNG god kind of thing, whereas in the original games, it's, you know, you lower it up, you paralyze them, then you throw the Pokeball, and you're fine. Here, you have to, you know, aim it at the Pokemon, which, I know is more real-life, quote-unquote, Pokemon, but you have to aim it between this ring, which you don't even technically have to do. I literally hit a Pidgeotto on its foot, like, way outside the circle, and it somehow caught it, whatever. But it tells you, like, oh, green, you're going to have a good chance of capturing it. Oh, yellow, you have a great chance of capturing it. Oh, red, yellow, you have a less chance of capturing it. Red, you really need to work hard to capture it. I've caught in red-ringed Pokemon in one go, and yellow-ringed Pokemon, like, after 10. And it's like, really?
Yes,
but then, in contrast, like, I had two battles with the Graveler. One battle, I caught him, both were yellow, caught him the first time. Second one took me 10 Pokeballs. Really? Really? And if you don't catch all these Pokemon, if you rely just on the battles, you're not going to level up enough. I actually had a hard battle with Lieutenant Surge with my Eevee because I didn't catch enough Pokemon. I wasn't leveled up enough to beat him easily. I actually struggled quite a bit. And even though I won, I didn't lose, but it was made me mad. And then I went through a tunnel and I battled a lot of Pokemon, and I got a lot of like the rock types are really good with the EXP, except for Rhyhorn. Why is Rhyhorn a 79 EXP Pokemon? That makes no sense. Venting, calm me down. But then by the time I got to Erica, in Celadon, I was, you know, like 8+ levels on her, where I was exactly the same with Surge, and it's all because I actually started to catch Pokemon again. So it's frustrating because I don't like playing this way, and you know, it leveling up the Pokemon, it literally only gives you one stat boost, one. So it'll either upgrade your health or your attack or your defense. And what you have to do is send your excess Pokemon to Professor Oak so you can get candies.
Right.
You can, you know, power your Pokemon. So my Eevee is actually pretty strong. My Eevee is really strong because of all the Pokemon I've captured. But it's annoying that I have to think this way. And yet,
yeah, I hear that.
Yeah. And yet, I like this game because it really brings the Pokemon world to life in a way that even the 3D, like Sun and Moon and XY, did. Because, A, my Eevee is the most adorable thing on God's green earth. Oh, I'm sorry. Arceus is green earth. Appreciate those who got the joke. Like, seriously, Eevee is so lifelike. Like, and I don't know how Pikachu acts. I imagine he acts like Ash's Pikachu, but my Eevee is so expressive, you know, and it'll notice things and it'll like do its Eevee cry, which sounds like the Eevee cry from the anime. And then it, like in battle, you'll hear the trainer cry out to Eevee, "Hey, I knew you could do it," and you'll see Eevee turn its head and like smile at the trainer. That's cool. And in a very reminiscent of what they did in Sun and Moon and XY and all that. But there are these little things, and like actually seeing the Pokemon, being able to see the Pokemon and say, "Oh, I want to capture that Raticate because I know that's a better EXP," or "Ooh, there's a tiny Pokemon, that's a better EXP boost." You know, taking out that randomness actually is really, really cool. It does help, not guide, but let you know that, you know, you have this option, and you don't have to battle any of the Pokemon if you don't want to. Unlike in the regular games where you have to run through the grass and or run through the mountain areas and hope that you don't hit a Zubat, which you will. Oh, you so will. But you know, they have these things, and then I was going through the rock tunnel from Cerulean to Celadon, and there was a lot of variety of Pokemon in there. Like in the regular games, you get a Zubat and like numerous Geodudes and maybe an Onix, but here I found, you know, Machop, Rhydon, Kangaskhan, and all of them are interpreted in their actual sizes, which makes Kangaskhan all the more terrifying because it's like apparently massive. But you know, it's these little things, and they actually have like actual Team Rocket, Jesse James and Meowth in there. That's really cool. They have expanded parts of the storyline. Like, I'm in Lavender Town right now. You actually meet the Cubone, whose mother died. You meet the Cubone. Like, it's part of your storyline. It's actually really cool. And they you do see the ghost, like the Sylph ghost, let's call it. And they actually interpret that in a really cool way. So they expand the storyline. It's a very faithful recreation. And outside of the fact that you're not battling blue and you're not red, et cetera, et cetera. But you know, there's some really cool things that go on here, but I can't give it a perfect score, not even close, because the capture mechanic and having to catch Pokemon to level up, it's so annoying. Because if you don't get the right Pokemon with the right EXP, it doesn't really matter. So I like if I was to give it a score right now, I'd probably be between a 3.5 and a 4. Because
yeah, that seems to be right on par with what a lot of people are saying. Cool kind of way to revisit Kanto, but you know, nothing groundbreaking outside of being a phenomenal entry point. I mean, I guess it's breaking in a different way.
I will say this, Tyler. You and I were worried about like, you know, the graphics and how they looked. I actually think they look fine. I can see how they can be improved for the Pokemon Core title that's coming out next year, which, if you haven't noticed, I wrote a "What Do We Know About the Pokemon Core Title?" See it now on OuterHaven.net. We never returned to your regularly scheduled podcast. but, like, I could see how they improve such things, but then I get, you have the ability to play with your Eevee or your Pikachu, and they look really good. They really, really do. But, so I actually kind of like this graphical feel. Now, granted, I actually do want it to be a little bit better for the core title, but for what this is, I actually think it's kind of nice. So,
I just want to add in my two cents as well, because I actually seen my my cousin actually play his version of the game. And from what I've seen so far, I mean, yeah, it's really, again, it's very casual, if anything else, because again, you more or less catch a Pokemon to level up and just like. And yeah, there's also a question I want to ask you as well, Todd. Like,
Yes.
how easy it, I mean, is it still rare for it to get shiny Pokemons, like the rare breeds?
Okay, that's weird because I've heard like a lot of people have seen shiny Pokemon. I haven't seen one. I mean, there are tiny Pokemon, there are giant Pokemon. You know what I mean when I
Right,
see
right,
them.
right, 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 right,
But they're
right.
not shiny Pokemon. And so I have not seen a shiny Pokemon so far
Yeah,
in my entire run in Let's Go Eevee.
Wow,
So
because yeah, I've been seeing like people like getting like the new shiny drowsies, all that, the different ones. It's like, huh. I mean, again, obviously the percentage is there, but like, huh. It's interesting to see. But just basically, like, I've seen the game, and again, as I said, it's casual. It's not really meant for the hardcore. But if you really can like get beyond that part, that is, there's no more regular battles and just like just capture Pokemon, then. I don't know, you may find something you may enjoy. But again, it is again a faithful recreation of Pokemon which is Pokemon Yellow, Pokemon Green. Yeah, Pokemon Yellow mostly, yes.
yeah, I would say. I mean, it's the first gen.
Yeah,
Right, right,
it's
right.
Kanto, so. But yeah, I mean, again, I'm enjoying it. I like what they did with Eevee. Okay, here's one of the big things. Eevee has the ability to learn techniques based on its evolutionary forms. And it's really cool. So I picked one not knowing what I was picking, called Bursting Bubble, no, Bouncy Bubble. And it's like the greatest move ever because not only does it do damage, it heals your Eevee by half of the damage you did. So, like when I'm facing, a fire Pokemon or a rock Pokemon, like what I do in the rock tunnel, I don't have to worry about health because I just blast them and I get healed up. So, and then there's one for every single Eevee. Like I taught it a fire type move for when I fought Erica. So I honestly think Eevee's the better choice than Pikachu. So ha!
So, I mean, that's if you want, like, yeah, if you want to go for the easy route. But again, Pikachu is the OG, if you want a challenge kind of deal. Yeah.
But again, I'm enjoying it. I know a lot of people are enjoying it. We're going to be talking about it in the news coming up. So we have been playing it, and I know that Clinton here at Outta Here, and he's been playing it. So yeah, I've been having fun. It's a great way to pass time until Smash Brothers.
That's really the key. Every game right now to me is just it's a bridge to December 7th.
True that, true that, true that.
Yep. All right, who's next?
I'll go next. I actually was playing not something new, but something new to me. For Black Friday, they had some quality sales on the Switch eShop, and they had Sonic Forces on sale for $20. So I bought it and I played it, and I gotta say, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was gonna be. Having watched gameplay of it and read stories about it, this would be a Sonic game, one of the few that I would never buy, but it was on really good sale. So I invested into it, and as not great as it was, I wouldn't call it good. I wouldn't say it was good. It was adequate, though. I mean, they had some hilarious cringe with the story, and yet underneath it all, like there was still that kind of warm feeling that I would get from the old Sonic games. They just went a little too far. They were kind of on. They were onto something with the story. They used all the characters again, which was nice to see. Espeo and Charmy the Bee and even Silver, a whole bunch of characters that just have kind of fallen off in recent Sonic games that people love to say they are part of the reason why Sonic fell apart. That's not true at all. It's really just a gameplay thing. But the three styles of gameplay all were functional. I will say functional. I think the modern Sonic levels were the best 3D Sonic stages where you with the boost mechanic. Again, they weren't perfect. Sonic still jumps kind of weird. I don't understand how Sonic Team can't figure out how to make Sonic's jumps feel natural. They felt natural in Sonic Colors. Like it wasn't that long ago. I guess it was kind of long ago now, but and I guess more recently in Generations it felt right as well. But in Lost World and now in Forces, Sonic's momentum is just so screwy that a lot of easy jumps suddenly are like, oh, he's not going to make it. And then a lot of jumps where you're trying to go super far, you're like, I don't know if I can make this. He makes it easily. It's a strange jank there. But those stages were actually fairly fun. They were way too short. Every level is like 2 minutes. You can beat everyone. It's a joke how short the levels were. I think the Sonic team really struggled. They didn't really have a vision for the game overall. They kind of just threw stuff at the wall and tried to see what stuck. Especially in terms of level design, there was some potential in many levels where you're like, wow, this level could actually be phenomenal. There's so many branching paths and they're all so short, but there's so many ways you can go that it was almost exciting. It was exciting to go through them and explore them. But again, they were just too short. The avatar stages, I didn't really like a whole lot. You have like a wisp that you can use for your character. You can pick which one you want. I just stuck with the first one they gave me the whole time. I really didn't like those stages very much. The avatar character itself was kind of boring. Again, though, you could see where they were going for. They wanted it to feel like if you were a kid playing the game, you were going on an adventure with Sonic, and they pushed it, and it almost worked. It just, the writing was just a little off. And I think the biggest disappointment was the 2D Sonic stages coming off of Sonic Mania, where the controls are amazing. The game just feels fantastic.
Because it was made by fans. Sonic...
Right, exactly. Yeah. How could Sonic Team that game out, knowing that Classic Sonic felt the way he did? You'd roll down hills and you'd lose speed. I don't know how that's possible. Like, that's not how Sonic's momentum works. You gain speed when you roll down hills. I don't understand how they could miss those basics. However, the Classic Sonic stages, outside of his horrifying controls, had really good level designs. They were pretty cool stages. The Death Egg level in particular stood out as it felt like a Classic Sonic level, one of my all-time favorites, actually. If he could just control well, it was a beautifully done stage. So, I mean, the game's kind of old. I don't know if it's still on sale now. As a diehard Sonic fan, I don't know if I ever told
probably
you guys that.
Probably should be.
I would spend the $20 on it if it's still on sale. I think
$20 is a good value for it. Yes, currently right now. I mean, for what it is, I mean, it's a good bargain for the world.
Bargain's a good word.
Yeah. It's a 5 hour, 6 hour game, and then you can do some. There's some post game stuff if you want to get into that. I didn't really want to get into that, but it's there for you. I mean, I hope that they come out with another Sonic game soon, and I hope that they get more creative minds on board, because I really think that was my biggest takeaway walking away from the game. It lacked creativity, and that was just that shouldn't be had in a Sonic game.
Soccer. For me, I'm just gonna keep it brief. Unfortunately, not really much on the new side of things. For me, I have been playing a bit of Overwatch more recently because of the new hero Ashe, posted by Jennifer Hill, and gotta say, Ashe plays very good. She's not a total sniper, but if you really want to go full-fledged marksman and just like sniping, and that new special of hers, Bob, do something, I just gotta say, I love Bob. He's such a good boy, honestly. He's such a good boy. I mean, to the fact that he's pretty much is basically a second player they can summon out of nowhere, and just like he tanks people a lot. So yeah, I love Bob. I love Bob in Overwatch. And for me, yeah, I've been also doing more of this, jumping on the bit of Splatoon 2. And yeah, because I don't think we have, because last week we were on break, I am sad that Squawk lost the salsa, and yeah, it was a complete sweep. I know, I yield. Yes, I know, Todd, you're kind of like smiling behind the screen right now, but yes, I yield. And I'm really surprised to see like the new Shifty Station, like that. Those guys are holy moly! Like, and unfortunately, I have to admit, like the Guacamelee team really got bodied, if anything else. So, yes, I'll yield my defeat for this time. How you might defeat, but yeah, the Shifty Station. But I'm really surprised, like 57% popularity vote, and then everything else 52% on normal cloud, and the pro cloud is 54%. Like, jeez, many people like their salsa.
Yeah, because it's salsa.
It was sad I couldn't really do a podcast during that week of the Splatfest, but I was about to say, like, do you know what other game that has a topping as their title? Guacamelee.
We mentioned that.
We did mention that.
Did. And I don't know what you're talking about, Will. You were totally during that podcast. You channeled your spirit into me, and I delivered your arguments. Don't you remember
really
that?
Well done.
Thank you.
It was phenomenal.
Thank you. All right. Speaking of phenomenal, now that we have all regaled you with our playings of the last 2 weeks, There has been some very interesting news coming out of Nintendo and other sources for the last couple weeks, and we're going to catch up. So, it's time to go down the warp pipe. Alright, I want to start off with a very popular rumor that was not so popularly debunked. Which just goes to show that just because somebody said something doesn't mean you listen to it. Okay, so, in Japan, there was a Legend of Zelda concert going on. And it just so happened that during this concert, one Aiji Aonuma decided to come out and talk Zelda. And he apparently said to the crowd, we all know what you want, Skyward Sword on Switch, right? And the crowd naturally erupted. And so a lot of people were wondering, hey, does this mean that Skyward Sword is going to come to the Nintendo Switch? No, it is not, because after a slew of postings and rumors, including one by us, Eurogamer, bless their hearts, contacted Nintendo, and they said in a statement, at this time, we have no plans to release Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword on Nintendo Switch. Now, while some people in Egypt, mainly Tyler, are in denial about this, stating that, you know, Nintendo would totally lie about this, I will recall what happened with the Nintendo 64 Classic, where Reggie Fils-Aimé said that there are no immediate future plans for the Switch, and all of us knowing that that was a very hard no, which they rarely ever do. This was also a very hard no, because they said there are no future plans for Skyward Sword on Switch.
Now, I'm actually going to be contrarian here. I'm going to say, everybody who wants this, calm down. It's going to come. It's going to happen. Nintendo denied the DS Lite a day before they announced the DS Lite. So, and Aonuma said the same thing about Majora's Mask. He said, look forward to A Link Between Worlds. We've heard about your love for Majora's Mask. You should check out A Link Between Worlds. And then, like, 2 weeks later, they announced Majora's Mask remake. It's going to happen. Calm down. Just because they say it, it's not.
Eventually.
They're just not ready to announce it.
Well, let's just recall that the statement specifically said there are no, at this time, there are no plans. So it could be that they're not planning it for this year, maybe not even next year, but the year after that. We don't know. But now, what Aonuma said was just, you know, a question and a more than a declaration. So calm down, Internet.
I just want to put my two cents. Basically, like, when you hear, hearing Eiji Aonuma says, like, we heard you, and yeah, you want to hear of a Skyward Sword? Yay! And then after that, like, okay, the hype's getting too real. Okay, I'm sorry, we gotta turn it down. No, we are not making Skyward Sword. Not right now. Not anytime soon. Anyways, So like, fine, but I can only imagine how Skyward Sword would come on the Switch, given the house Wiimote focused it was. So I wonder.
That's why I think that it'll take a little while. Not unlike how Twilight Princess took a while to get to the Wii U, because they had to, you know, pull back the motion controls. Granted, those were much more basic motion controls, but they still had it with the Wii. So with Skyward Sword, which was totally enhanced with the Wii's Motion Plus adapter, or if you were like me and got the completely golden Hyrule controller, because I'm awesome, that's pre-order. I was actually one of the only pre-orders I've ever gotten was a Skyward Sword, and then I got Breath of the Wild, and now I got Smash Brothers. So only for the important titles. So, which probably means I'll do Fire Emblem, but we'll see. But I think it's going to take a little while to do Skyward Sword, because they're going to want to, you know, enhance the graphics like they did with Twilight Princess and with Wind Waker HD and et cetera, et cetera. So I think I'm with Tyler. It will come. Probably won't be until 2020. Because
really,
next year they're
packed.
It'll
be sooner. I think it's coming next year. They might even announce it at the Game Awards.
True. It's true. And then Reggie would be like, oh, you didn't actually believe us when we said we weren't playing the Skyward. Silly Geoff Keighley. Geoff Keighley, we might have to talk about him a little bit later.
You didn't think I would come simply to announce a Skyward Sword remake, did you?
Yeah. It's like, Joff, you didn't think that we'd be here with Smash Brothers coming out tomorrow and not announce a DLC character, did you?
Okay, that's going to be a direct quote.
That's going to be a direct quote.
Hold on, we're going to talk about that later. Sorry.
Yeah, we
sorry.
Will. It's like, oh, look, there's Tetsuya Nomura over there. Maybe he should announce the character. Oh, if Tyler does, he's not going to make it to the announcement. He's going to be in cardiac arrest at that point. All right, so moving on to confirmed definite news. Nintendo, from Black Friday, okay, technically Thanksgiving, from Thanksgiving to Cyber Monday, did really, really well. How well? Oh, let me tell you. The Nintendo Switch was definitively the most selling, or best selling, depending on how you want to look at it, most best selling video game related item from Black Friday to Cyber Monday. Like, it sold the most of any video game related item, console or game. Nintendo Switch was number one.
Woo.
To that extent, the Switch is now the best selling Nintendo platform ever from on the Black Friday weekend, including beating the Nintendo Wii, which is actually quite an accomplishment. Continuing with that, the Nintendo Switch just in America has sold 8.2 million units, which, given where it was during the last quarter, is basically one third of its install base, which goes to show how much it's selling all over the world. And though we do not have hard numbers of how much the Switch sold, it's fair to say it's probably a couple million from Black Friday to Cyber Monday. So, and yeah. You thought I was done. I am not. $250 million worth of Nintendo products were sold between Thanksgiving to Cyber Monday.
Woo!
Yeah.
I think that was also like one of the reasons is because I believe that, yeah, if I recall correctly, Amazon had a SD card, a micro SD card of 400 gigabytes that was $80. Yeah, and everybody kind of snatched that thing up to put on the Nintendo Switch, if I recall.
Probably. But
it's overall, like, I'm just really glad to see, like, Nintendo just doing so well on this thing. I mean, if anything else, it's more or less just a prelude to, again, everyone's just getting ready to get Smash Bros. If anything else. Or yeah. Maybe they're just waiting for that special. Yeah, right. Because the special edition Smash Switch is out right now. So I think maybe that's also another reason why.
There you go.
Well, it's interesting because there's been a lot of financial reports about Nintendo recently, and all the experts are somehow disappointed in the Switch's showing in its second year. They, if you recall, I believe they said 20 million was their goal
in the during the fiscal year. Yeah.
Yes, their goal is to get to 38 million come the second or the third fiscal year, and it's probably not going to do. That's probably going to come about between two to three million short. And I've read a lot of so-called business experts writing about how Nintendo's the Switch needs a strong second year, and they're not. It's not having it. All good consoles have a good second year, and the Switch is. It's not reaching a wider audience. Like, what are the? Do they understand like that? Every console is different. The Switch has had no big games until Let's Go Eevee and Pikachu and Smash Bros. This year, and yet it's still selling a crazy number. And looking at next year's calendar, it's only going to get better.
Better. Now, I will counter by, and if we're talking about blockbuster titles, I will agree that they didn't have anything until Let's Go. But if nothing else, we can say that there have been a lot of big million seller surprises for Switch.
No, there hasn't, but that's the thing. They're surprises. They're not console sellers. Plus, Nintendo's profits are right on target because they've sold, as you mentioned, more software than people expected.
Yeah. So, and on that note, it should be noted that, like, in the UK, there was like three to four games that sold like 100% more than what they did the previous week. Pokemon Let's Go, just in the US, sold 1.5 million units within its first week.
Right.
Like
right.
Friday to Friday. And then worldwide, it sold 3 million in its first 3 days. Somehow, it's they say week, but they said like sales week, which is like Friday to Sunday or something like that. I don't know.
Right.
Then, as if that wasn't enough, Super Mario Party, just in the U.S., sold 1 million units.
Just crossed the Millionaire's Club. Yep.
Yeah. No, not just the Millionaire's Club, but like just in the U.S. Millions Club. Which only five other games have done. Zelda, Mario, Mario Kart, Splatoon, and...
Kirby?
No, not Kirby. Okay, oh. I guess Super Mario Party was the fifth one. But still, just in the U.S. a million, that makes it the fastest-selling Mario Party game ever. That's pretty insane. So, yeah.
I played that too over the break. I didn't mention it. It's a lot of fun. I only played one round of it, but it's great.
Maybe I will have to get. I might have to wait for a sale though, because Smash Brothers priorities and all that.
Exactly.
Yeah, and to all of you business people, quote unquote, who's saying that the Switch isn't doing well, I'm sorry. it's how is it doing badly? I mean, you keep saying, you have a strong second year. Hey, Hotshot. The second year's not over yet. Smash Brothers in December. Mario U Deluxe in January, which you know is going to sell a million. It's Mario. It's going to sell a million. There's February, which I think is getting Yoshi. Maybe there's rumored about something coming in February. And then there's March.
Right.
Don't tell me that it's not having that good of a year when Smash Brothers still isn't out yet. I would bet right now between the October, because remember the last sales quarter ended in September, right? It was at like just under 23 million, right? So between October, which had Super Mario Party and people were building out for Pokemon Let's Go, November, which is Pokemon Let's Go, December, which is Smash Brothers, I would be surprised right now at all in 11/29, 2018, if they're not over 25 million right now because of Black Friday, Cyber Monday, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It could be 26 million. I don't know. So I would bet somehow that they sold a couple million over the Black Friday weekend just because of the sales numbers. Because there's no way that SD cards and video games and everything, that all led up to 250 million in sales. A lot of that had to be the Switch. So, you know, we have a term here on NEP for people like you. Cap-a-haters. So, stick that in your pipe and schmick it. Moving on. Actually, ironically, let's talk about pre-orders. Apparently, according to Nintendo, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate is now not only the most pre-ordered Smash Bros. Game in history, it is the most pre-ordered Switch game in history. Which means it's beaten out Breath of the Wild, Pokemon Let's Go, Mario Odyssey, which had a bunch of pre-orders going for it. So I was talking this over with the guys. Where do you think that it's going to land? Because if Pokemon Let's Go can get 3 million in the first 3 days, I seriously think Smash Bros. Ultimate, with all the hype going into it, can get really close to 5 million in
I was about to say. Yeah, 5 million is an 5 easy million. Number. Easy 5 million. Yes.
Oh, contrarian.
Oh, sorry. No, I agree. I 5 million's a lot. I mean, I do think 5 million's a lot, but I'm not going to disagree with you. If it's setting pre-order records like this, then yes, that's a real possibility.
Yeah, now the only catch here is that the difference between Smash and Pokemon Let's Go is that Pokemon Let's Go is built to be a casual title, whereas Smash Brothers is for the elite.
Yes.
You know, it's not I don't mean that in a bad way, but I mean elite as in you get a system, you get a Nintendo system so you can play Smash Brothers. You know, like that's the kind of people, like you wait for Smash Brothers to come and to enrich your lives for however long until you get nerfed by an 8-year-old and it's just bad.
I mean, maybe, you know what? This is the contrarian in me. Now that I after agreeing, I'm thinking about it. What if I'm just trying to picture the 5 years from now, the Switch sales chart, and Pokemon is going to be at the top. I mean, Pokemon's always at the top.
Yeah.
So is it going to be
Pokemon and Mario?
Yeah, right. But is it going to be the Gen 8 Pokemon or Pokemon 2019 or Pokemon Let's Go or both? I mean, maybe Smash won't do as crazy as we think.
Well, it just...
I really don't know. I'll have to check the Wii U numbers to see because that would help.
Here's the thing. Like the big thing here that's going for the Switch is that, again, Nintendo, just like they did with Smash 4, built the hype up epically. All right? Smash 4 sold... at least I think 5 million on the Wii U, and that was the Wii U. Okay,
yeah.
that was a bad, not a bad system, but a poorly advertised system. Like, Tyler, look up the numbers for the Wii U version, please. Like, that was a low-tier system, let's call it that, and it still sold about 5 million. So
yeah,
now,
it sold 5.3 on the Wii U, 9.3 on the 3DS.
Okay, well, there you go. The 3DS obviously had a bigger fan base. You know, people liked the mobility of it all. Okay, so now imagine, you know, a much more established fan base. Let's just say 25 million by the time December 7th comes around, which I think we're already at. So the hype has been built. Everyone's talking about it. A lot of people have a Wii U. A lot of people have a Switch. Yeah, so you can play Smash Bros. Ultimate on the Wii U. You just have to work around some things. But, you know, they're there. So there's no doubt in my mind that they're gonna buy the game.
Okay, hold on. I'm gonna come out and say that they're gonna sell. Now I'm saying 3 million, and that's a lot. Brawl sold 2.7 million in its opening weekend, or in March, in the first year it came out. And Brawl is the highest selling Smash Bros. Game. Brawl sold 13 million copies, and it was on the Nintendo Wii, console that everybody had. Now, I hope that I'm wrong and that Ultimate blows it out. Because I feel like it should be bigger than Let's Go, but maybe it's not.
Well, we're gonna find out. I mean, we'll find out. I mean, Let's Go has the casual element, but Smash Brothers has the fan base behind it,
and the advertising. Let's Go was well advertised.
Yeah, advertising, yes.
Smash is an advertising juggernaut behind it.
And don't forget, I know pre-orders aren't an indication technically, but Mario Odyssey has sold, you know, 11 million right now, and it didn't sell out on Amazon.
You're right.
Smash Brothers has sold out on Amazon. It has the most pre-orders of any Switch game. Everyone is looking forward to Smash Brothers, and there is no competition in December.
Right.
And even if people don't get it day one per se, they're asking their parents to get it for them for Christmas.
Holiday season.
Even if they're not playing it on December 7th, they might be buying it on December 7th if they haven't bought it already via pre-orders and whatnot. So I think 5 million in its first week is very doable. But again, you know, Let's Go had 3 million in 3 days ish, and then the Black Friday sales. Oh, yeah, that's something I forgot to mention. Pokemon Let's Go combined was the fourth best selling thing on Black Friday. Just Black Friday. I don't know about Cyber Monday and all
thing,
that. But
in general, right? Not yeah, game, just
in
thing.
General. All products. It was, there was a weird item at number 3, I can't remember it. One of them was a TV, I think was number 1. Then Pokemon Let's Go, Pikachu, and Eevee combined was number 4. And then God of War was number 5.
Wow. Okay.
But for the record, God of War was selling for $17 on some sites.
Wow,
so
really,
a lot of people were taking advantage of that, whereas Pokemon Let's Go was obviously selling at full price. So what does that say?
I think there's also, like, I'm not sure, like, this is also included in the numbers, but, like, did they also include regarding to the whole Pokeball accessory as well? Because I know you could get a Mew from it.
I have no idea. I honestly have no idea. But it wouldn't surprise me. So, alright, moving on from Black Friday. The NPD continues to deliver very interesting looks into the history of gaming. And their most recent one is the best-selling, like, units of profit-wise, the best-selling exclusive titles for consoles since 1995. Every single one of them is from Nintendo. Number 10, Wii Sports Resort. Number 9, Super Smash Bros. Brawl, which we just talked about. Number 8, Super Mario 64. Number 7, Mario Kart DS. Number 6, New Super Mario Bros. DS. Number 5, New Super Mario Bros. Wii, which had a massive selling. Number 4, Wii Fit Plus. Number 3, Mario Kart Wii, which is the best-selling Mario Kart title ever. Number 2, Wii Play. And number 1, Wii Fit.
Really?
Cool. Yeah. Now remember, these are best-selling exclusive titles. So, you know, Grand Theft Auto isn't on this list because that was three different things. Same thing with something like Red Dead Redemption or something like that. These are exclusive titles in the last, from 1995 to 2017, Nintendo owns all of them. And
that's
one,
funny.
Two, three, four, five, six, seven of them are Wii titles.
Yeah, that's funny. Not surprised. I was reading an article about Smash Bros. From like a not gaming website. I forget how I even got there. But it said, featuring gaming icons like Mario, Link, and Wii Fit Trainer. And you just realized, wait, Wii Fit Trainer, actually, like Wii Fit sold a stupid amount of copies.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and then, yeah. So like, let's never forget when Wii Fit Trainer was introduced to Smash Brothers.
Oh yeah, yeah. A lot of people are like, what, really?
It's easy to forget because they announced that behind closed doors at E3.
Yeah, and then they released a trailer just to show that they were actually being serious. but I'm seriously loving these MPD like history lesson lists because like it's a fascinating look at our history, and
yes,
you almost have to wonder, you know, looking at like in a few years' time, will Odyssey be on that list? Because Odyssey is at 11 million right now.
Yes.
So and all the other big games, Red Dead, Grand Theft, Monster Hunter, Dragon Ball FighterZ, they're all multi-platform titles. Where Mario is killing it only on the Nintendo Switch. Just something to put into your heads. All right, let's keep it going because we got a lot of things to talk about. Mario Tennis, really quickly, getting three new characters in Luma, Pauline, and who's the third one?
Boom boom.
Bam bam. Boom boom.
Boom boom.
Okay, boom boom. Okay.
I know that. I mean, I was just wondering who the heck names their Koopa kid named Boom Boom.
I try not to judge. Splatoon 2 has gotten is it about to get?
It's about to get his last update on version 4.3 on December 5th in Japan, and I'm assuming it's probably shortly after for us later on.
Okay, now just to be clear, while this is the last content update, there will be more Splatfest coming. They said 18 months of content updates and 2 years of Splatfest, so we still have 6 months of Splatfest plus the ones we should be getting soon in early December, so stay tuned for that. Detective Pikachu, which we haven't talked about for reasons.
Because of Thanksgiving. Because of Thanksgiving.
Well, that too. The first trailer for the movie has been viewed 60 million times on YouTube.
Nice.
This was notable to me because Toy Story released Toy Story 3, just a tiny little thing of them in a circle. And then the next day, they released another clip because that Toy Story clip, nobody cared about. They were all watching the Pokemon clip. I am convinced that was not their strategy. And they put two teasers out in 24 hours because I think the Pokemon Let's Get or Detective Pikachu thing totally swept the internet.
Of course. I mean, again, it's Pokemon, a live action that actually seems to be a very good live action video game movie. Which...
And see, the difference here is, wait, hold on. Sorry, we have breaking news, but I'll get to it in a second. The difference here is that everyone knows what Toy Story is all about. Like, yes, they're kind of excited for Toy Story 4. A lot of people, including myself, felt that Toy Story 3 was the perfect capper of the series. It didn't need a fourth movie, although it did have like the mini shorts, like Toy Story of Terror short. That was fine. That was a TV thing. So they knew what to expect. You know, hey, it's Toy Story. It's a teaser. What do you want? This was an actual showing of Pokemon in live action. Like, legit movie studio bucks went into this. And so everyone was curious. And then I'm sure between, like, the whole, oh my gosh, they look so fluffy, and oh, Ryan Reynolds actually is Pikachu, you know, that drove up the view. So once a full trailer for Toy Story comes around, I'm sure that'll be fine.
But, yeah, no, I agree. But I did think it was cool.
All right. Let's skip the World of Light thing. That's honestly not that important. But what is important is Nintendo has decided to end their Nintendo Creators Program.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Nintendo, we love them. We do. But they're kind of jerks when it comes to YouTube and like Let's Play videos. And so this Nintendo Creators Program was like their way of trying to fix that problem. But now they're ending it. And now they're promising that they're going to make it, quote unquote, make it easier for content creators to make and monetize videos. Sure.
From what I'm seeing on the general feedback is basically one. Like, I mean, again, it's better than what we have right now because, again, as everyone knows that unless you really are on this program's list, you can't put anything Nintendo remotely, not like even 1 second or like a few seconds of Nintendo footage before being like flagged for copyright. So like, obviously, I think the major reaction is basically like it's much more better than what they were going for the first time around. So that a lot of people basically like praising Nintendo, like, ah, finally a major change, that's great. But how they're gonna implement it, we'll just have to wait and see. I mean, I read like some of the guidelines, like, yeah. So if there's like some things, like for example, like when you use the capture button on your Nintendo Switch, yeah, that thing is no problem whatsoever. But like everything else, like major stuff, I don't know. I think it's because like some people were theorizing it was because due to the whole Smash leaks that has been happening recently.
Well, see, I think it's different because to me it was notable when you said Smash leaks, my ears perked up because that it was interesting that they came out and had this released the statement after that. It seemed like a weird time given that I would think they would be closing in more, but they're not. They're expanding more. You can't just – it's weird. It's a weird line to draw, but you can't just record gameplay and like a let's go or a let's play. I keep saying let's go. A let's play video. You can't have a silent let's play video, but you can have as much video as you want so long as you are talking over it and being creative. That's what they said, that they you can do any game as long – and you can monetize your channel so long as you are adding your creative input to it. I don't know why that's the line that they drew. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me, but you can just have silent video capture from your Switch gameplay, but you can also do a like a let's play if you want to do a let's play video
commentary
as long as you're doing commentary over top of it, which is great. And I thought it was interesting that they released that after the Smash Bros stuff, because if I was them, I would probably not have done it then, but I think that it was almost a it's a good sign that they are sticking with it.
I don't know. I hope they do something significant because I don't know.
It's really hard to say. I mean, again, granted, Nintendo really doesn't know what to do with regard to this to the whole copyright, especially like again, with the whole article of free use and all that. Yes, and copyright. But I mean, I'm happy that like Nintendo is like maybe starting to finally be a little bit more laxer on the things because again. Free use, and then everybody wants to share their love for Nintendo. I mean, again, it's free advertisements, but once they have implemented these new rules and all that, because I think I also read on Sugar Conway's Twitter account, like said, like annotations, like particular annotations on Nintendo videos. I think that's maybe gonna be affected. So that's gonna be an interesting way to see how it's gonna be affected. So I don't know. We just have to wait and see how Nintendo's really gonna, if it's gonna be good for the better or for worse. We just have to, like, yeah, just gotta wait and see if they're gonna really back up what they're gonna say.
Well, we'll find out.
Nintendo, if you're listening, please stop flagging all the videos from the leaked Smash Bros. Soundtrack. Like, I get the other stuff, but the soundtrack, please just let me listen to the
Did you hear what they did?
No, enlighten me.
Just eliminated channels.
Yeah, they literally stone cold like copyright infringed banned like channels. And there's actually a guy who only did it because the other channels were doing it, and he didn't want to be quote unquote left behind. And now he has no channel.
I mean, admittedly, a lot of those people said they knew that what they were risking when they did that. But again, the Smash Bros. Hype was just too real, and I am so glad that they did. I didn't download those songs, but for the 2 hours that they were up, I was in heaven.
Oh, jeez.
My dad walked by my room, and he's like, "Why are you smiling?" I was like, "I'm just listening to this four-side remix. It's amazing."
Oh, gosh. All right, well, we got a dual main event tonight. We'll keep one short so we can focus on Smash Brothers, obviously. Mm-hmm. So next week at this time, okay, at the time we're recording, the Game Awards are going to be live. So we will not be recording next Thursday, and thus not be releasing on Friday. We're actually recording on Friday to talk about the Game Awards and Smash Brothers, mainly Smash Brothers. And so we'll be releasing on Saturday. So that is a program update for you. But there's some very interesting things to talk about. So we're going to discuss it in a Nintendo discussion. All right, now usually I wouldn't have done this because, you know, the Game Awards are kind of unpredictable, but Geoff Keighley, who's the host of the show, has noted that there is going to be 10 new game announcements at the Game Awards next week, which is, again, the 6th of December. And there were some big game announcements last year, including but not limited to Bayonetta 3, Soul Calibur 6, and actually, those are the only ones I cared about. I don't know why. But there were more. But this is, they said 10, which is the most they've ever had at a game at the Game Awards. And I kid you not, as I was going to Nintendo Everything to get some details on one of our stories, Koei Tecmo has apparently put up a teaser website for a brand new title. And it will be coming to the PS4, Nintendo Switch, and PC. Oh, not the Xbox. Shocker. And it will be announced on 12/6. So, and it goes, and it, apparently it says the Battle of Destiny begins. So,
it's not Fire Warriors 2, I sleep.
Well, I mean, that would be hilarious, except that would make it the first Fire Emblem game on PS4, so I don't think they're going to do that. But, so there you go. There's one, that's one game announced right there, and that's guaranteed Switch title, so there's 9 more out there. And there's a rumor going around that they're also going to be doing updates on quote-unquote existing titles, which could mean a Smash Bros. DLC announcement. And there's a rumor saying that Metroid Prime 4 could show up at the Game Awards in some fashion. So, what do you think, guys? What do you think we should expect from Nintendo at the Game Awards?
For me, because like just a quick context, rollback. Because again, not many people were basically expecting much from the Game Awards back in prior years, because many just that's basically a cash advertisement, all that yada yada. I mean, ever since last year, and especially with that appearance with Reggie Fils-Aimé introducing Bayonetta 3 and all, like, everyone's more or less got their attention to this year's Video Game Awards now. It actually means something. So, in regards to announcements, yeah, Metro Prime 4 definitely seems prime. I mean, prime for it, no pun intended. And the first DLC, aside from Piranha Plant for Smash Bros., I think that's also a great spot to announce it. Like, if there's anything else, like, it's probably, like, a good surprise, heck, as Tyler wrote in his article, like, perhaps maybe the new Fire Emblem Three Houses, or, I don't know, I would be very surprised even to have, like, just throw some details on Travis Touchdown. I mean, granted, we didn't know about the game, but I don't know, yeah, even more Travis Touchdown I'd be very happy about. It's just, there's a lot of potential, which I'm really happy for the Video Game Awards this year, which... that's something to say. Like, I'm actually excited for this Video Game Awards.
I'm not expecting a ton from Nintendo, actually, and it's because we usually get a December Nintendo Direct, and I think that they're going to save some stuff for that. I mean, there's a lot of titles that we should hear about from them at some point, and a lot of stuff that they could put at the Game Awards, like Fire Emblem Three Houses, like Metroid Prime, like Bayonetta 3, but I don't expect them to do all of that there, so I kind of expect one or two targeted announcements. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw more Bayonetta 3, considering that was announced there last year, and I'm definitely thinking we're getting a Smash Bros. Character. It just makes too much sense the day before release, and I think it'll be a very exciting one. I've been saying Sora. I still think it's Sora, but maybe it's not. Maybe it's a Banjo-Kazooie. I think it'll be an exciting character that gets everybody super fired up for the game. So I'm expecting that. I'm expecting one new game announcement, maybe just a little teaser. I can't really tell you what type of game it'll be, but I do expect them to announce a new game like they did last year. But I really don't expect Nintendo to come out and throw all their chips on the table here. I do think we're going to get a traditional Nintendo Direct at some point in mid-December.
Let's see. For me, I'm of two minds, because on one hand, again, they didn't have to do anything last year, and then they dropped the Bayonetta bomb, which is awesome. But, and then there's these rumors about, you know, 10 titles. Again, we already have the Koei Tecmo reveal tease, yada yada. So, you know, that's good stuff. But what do I actually expect from them? That's a good question. I would expect at least one trailer for either Metroid or Fire Emblem, you know, just something to say, hey, you know, 2019 is going to be a really epic year. It won't be Pokemon. They're focusing too much on Let's Go right now. It won't be Pokemon. That'll be saved for like a direct in like February or something. So there would be that. I would love it if it was third or first party for a brand new Nintendo game, exclusive Nintendo game, not including the Koei Tecmo thing. So that could happen. I'm not sure if it will, because here's the thing. All the publishers are in an interesting place right now. We have the Xbox, which is just existing at this point. We have PS4, who Sony's announced is not going to be at E3 next year. So would they really? Huh?
It's probably on the way out.
Well, yeah, but that's the thing. Like, so if they're not going to be at E3, what would they show at the Game Awards? You know, I mean, unless it's something that is coming out in the next few months, like there's a rumor that Death Stranding is going to get a release date soon. No, I'm serious. Like, apparently, like, there was a posting on Amazon or something, and if that's true, you know that Kojima is tight with Keighley, so it would be the Game Awards. Right. That is a PS4 exclusive, so that could be one thing. But that's an update, not a new title. So what would they show exclusively for them that would be more meaningful here that wouldn't be at E3 unless it came out in those first 5 months? So I have a
prayer thought, and I have a feeling that to get the audience really hyped for 2019, it would be the revival of F-Zero. I have a feeling.
Oh, you mean Nintendo?
I have a feeling. I mean, that's just a prayer thought, but if they like show off a teaser of F-Zero, like, we haven't forgotten about you, we're planning 2019 to be the year of F-Zero.
No. But wait, that's a good point, though. That we could, that, okay, this is my prediction. We will get Retro's game, Star Fox Grand Prix, at the Game Awards. That's my, I put that down, that's gonna happen.
Okay. I think we just found our poll question, so I'll say that my statement for later. But I do think we'll get at least one. I would not be surprised if like a majority of these new games are all multi-platform titles, like with this Koei Tecmo thing, because you know they got to make their living too, and that's fine. I mean, again, Soul Calibur 6 was a big announcement last year. Now it's multi-platform, though it should have been on Switch. Whatever. No, it's fine. I know why you didn't do it, Koei Tecmo. It's fine. But you know, so I would say here's my guess. 6 of the 10 titles are multi-platform third parties. We've already got one confirmation, so that means we're going to get 5 more. I would love if 2 of the final 4 were Nintendo exclusives, and then 1 for Sony and 1 for Microsoft. Just to balance it out. You know, have a little spice, you know, and all that. And then I would like an update either for Metroid Prime 4 or Fire Emblem Three Houses. So that's my guess. 2 brand new announced games, and then 2 major updates for 2 trailers, 1 for Metroid and 1 for Fire Emblem. That's my guess. And then when it doesn't happen, we can all say, "Hey, at least we got Smash Brothers."
That's right.
True that. I agree. Okay. Amen. Amen.
All right. Now, if they were to happen to announce a Smash Brothers DLC character, who's our picks? I know Tyler's is Sora. He's been raving about that for a week. So Tyler's got Sora. Who do you got, Will?
Honestly, I'm gonna go with my tried and true. Hopefully, Travis touchdown. I mean, it's, because again,
Will, Travis, who do you actually think they'll announce? Not who do you want? Who do you think?
I think Will's got more of a basis than you, man.
Because
at least
Travis touchdown is coming out in January.
Yeah.
It's coming out in January.
Yeah, and
nobody
Suda51
knows Travis
loves
touchdown
Nintendo.
Is.
I think that would be a good way to bring attention. I mean, as much as I would like to have Shantae in Smash, she's a spirit, unfortunately.
Yeah, she's a spirit.
I mean, she's possible. It's possible, maybe Shantae. But heck, Travis touchdown is like a comment, also another a culmination of indie games. So
see, and here's another thing to think about, Tyler. I mean, and for the record, this could work for Sora too. But here's the thing: they announced in the course of 3 days, they went from all the characters are going to be chosen by Nintendo to we have all the characters selected. That's really fast. So,
yeah, that's just marketing speak. They've had them selected
but still,
for months.
That means that even if they like confirmed it, that has to mean that they at least knew going in that there's one character that they had to do. So why not use Smash Brothers, kind of like what they did with Corrin and Fire Emblem Fates, to promote a game that was coming out, and that would be Travis Touchdown. So it could happen to where they could announce that Kingdom Hearts 3 is coming to the Switch, and that's the perfect setting for Smash Brothers.
That would be amazing.
But would that actually happen? I don't know. So, I don't know.
I think you're absolutely nuts if you actually think that. But Prana Plant is in, so anybody could be in.
Exactly. Yeah, anyway,
Prana
exactly.
Plant. Prana Plant. That's exactly. Anything is possible. Anything is possible. I actually rewatched the Duck Hunt trailer, the Duck Hunt Dog trailer
That's a
reveal.
Classic.
Because it's just like, it's the best. It's the best. The dog is still mocking us! Okay, as for my selection, I don't know, actually. I mean, because of Piranha Plant,
yep,
everybody is possible. And so they could go a Travis Touchdown to promote the upcoming game. They could go Sora to have a fan-desired character in. Or they could go, I'll just say mine, even though I know I'm wrong, Rex and Pyra from Xenoblade, just so they can fulfill a character that they... You all heard Sakurai. He couldn't put Rex and Pyra in because the game wasn't done. So, and that was too much time to wait to see, hey, maybe we should put in, you know, Rex and Pyra. Fire Emblem Fates was already out in Japan long before it was announced for... According to was announced for Smash Brothers, so that time difference was fine. This was different. So... I think Rex and Pyra, because it could be the fulfilling of a promise, if you will, because they did the outfits, but that was it. And just because they announced it, the DLC wouldn't likely come till like, what, March? Because Piranha Plant's in January. So
Right. Seasons.
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting. I am actually looking forward to the Game Awards. I didn't last year, but I tuned in because I felt like it, and I was glad because of Bayonetta. Also, F the Oscars.
Oh, that was a great moment. I love that.
So, yeah. But we will be talking about that next week on the podcast. So we will not be at our regular time because we will be watching the Game Awards. Or in Will's case, he'll be waiting outside of Nintendo in New York, waiting for a Smash Brothers copy.
Yay! And plus, get all those amiibos. Yep.
There you go. So we'll be tweeting about it. So there you go, Tyler. Maybe me and you could do like live tweeting the Game Awards.
We'll be good.
Yeah. So, all right. So stay tuned for that. All right. The countdown is almost over.
Mm-hmm.
7 days by the time you're listening to this. Less than 7 days remain until the arrival of Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. We've been waiting for so long. Okay, if we're really thinking about it, we actually haven't. I mean, the wait for Brawl and Smash 4 was way longer.
Oh, yes.
All right. I mean, both of those games had delays. All right.
It does feel like forever since Smash was announced, though. Like, I don't know how it feels long to me, but because Smash 4 took 2 years to come out. Brawl wasn't much better, you're right. And yet this one does feel like it's been it feels like it's been forever since E3 to me.
Yeah.
I think it's because like ever since the birth of the Nintendo Switch, everybody's like kind of, where is Smash? And they were just waiting for that direct, like, when is the director gonna announce Smash? And then we got that direct that showed Splatoon with that Inkling's eyes.
Then it was about whether it's a port or whether it's a new game. And
we're
then it
so
was like,
blessed to have Smash this early in the Switch's life
it's
cycle.
It's true. It's true. We are so blessed. And so we're going to talk about everything we're excited for in the newest meeting of the NEP Secret Society. All right. I call this meeting to order. So I want all of us to go around and talk about what we're most excited for and what we're going to do first when we enter the game. Tyler, you have been one of the most faithful in talking about Smash on Twitter mainly. So I give the floor to you first. What are you most excited about and what are you going to do first?
Well, that's a great question because I've been debating that myself. See, I have two roommates, both Switch owners, both Smash Bros. Fans. We're all going to be getting it. And I was talking with them on Tuesday night, and I said, guys, what are we going to do? We need a game plan, because the game's going to start. There's only going to be 8 characters in it, and we're going to want to play it all night long. Like, we're not going to not play it all night long, but are we going to have to each go into our own rooms and dive into the World of Light first and unlock all the characters and then meet up, or do we just try to unlock the characters through playing games? Now, minor spoilers for those who don't want to know anything about the game at all. You will tune back in like 20 seconds. You have to play 350 matches to unlock all the characters. That was from the data mine. Spoilers over. So I think I'm going to jump right into Versus. Originally, I was planning on playing World of Light first, but given that match total to unlock all the characters, I'm thinking that I'm going to jump into Versus. I'm probably going to have to – I'll start with my guy, Yosh, and then I will start unlocking characters that way, just one battle at a time. I was excited because Marth is unlockable almost right away in World of Light. He's at the first fork in the road that you reach. It was not a spoiler there, seen in the trailer. So you can go get Marth almost instantly. So maybe that's what I'll do. I'll go in and get Marth and then go to Versus. That's what I'm going to do. Final answer. I'm going to go into World of Light. I'm going to go get Marth, and then we're going to play Versus.
But what are you most excited about?
What am I most excited about?
Yeah.
Playing Versus. I'm excited to finally throw down with the homies. Oh my gosh, it's going to be amazing. I can't wait to check out how all the characters feel, how the game engine feels. I'm watching these combos online. This game it's brilliant. It's so brilliant. It's a mixture. It's not a mixture of Smash 4 and Brawl like everybody keeps saying it is. It's its own animal. Combos are fluid in this game. They're very real. Offense is everywhere. The pressure that you can apply to your opponents is disgusting. I watched a combo. This man was Young Link. I'm telling you guys, Young Link is the truth. Young Link, he shoots an arrow from about mid-range, like halfway across the stage, hits a Bowser up in the air, shoots another arrow. True combo. Arrow into arrow. Then he jumps up, shoots a third arrow. Also a true combo. Throws a bomb, hits him with the bomb. True combo. That's a four-hit combo. Then he hits him with the up air to kill him. It's a five-hit true combo. We have never seen a Smash game like this outside of Melee, where there's a ton of combos, but they're all sort of just like they're pretty cheap, like a lot of throw combos, a lot of infinite combos. It's not Smash Ultimate. Smash Ultimate looks so crisp, and so many characters have these moves, have these combos. I can't wait to dive in and see how they all feel, especially my guy Marth and my guy Crom.
I was about to say.
All right, Will, how about you?
Like, the one thing that I'm really excited for, honestly, is just basically actually going to the single player of the World of Light. Because, again, we only know a little bit regarding to that main antagonist, Gleamio, something like that. Yeah, Gleam, something.
Gallum. Or Gleam.
Gleam, thank you. Yes. And then, again, we start as Kirby and then going to find all these spirits that take over of the champions. Because we've seen so much interesting artwork, like, the spirits are taking possession of characters and they are representing of what they are. For example, with that whole intro of Dr. Hal Emmerich, Dr. Mario with Hal Emmerich of Metal Gear, to actually have Rob controlling a Metal Gear, Rob going after you a la Metal Gear. That was amazing. And then I just saw, funny enough, I actually saw the Twitter of Matt Bozon, who did the artwork for Shantae, actually gave a seal of approval of Zero Suit Samus, the spirit of Shantae. He gave his seal of approval, and it would be interesting to see like how like all the spirits of all these different game series can be adapted into the characters. And that's one thing I'm very interested about the World of Light, is like how is it represented in this game? Like how would a Smokey Wollywog of Pikmin be represented in like what was the other character? I think it was a Mario. I don't know, but like this combination, like spirit and character, I'm really curious about how it is gonna be in the game. So single player is really the one of the most things I'm very interested about. And then of course naturally I just want to hear the Palutena's guidance, because I've been hearing from Game Explain, like, yeah, Isabelle, she wears a belt. That's why she is a belt. And like, oh god, that pun.
I love Pit so much, dude. Pit is, again, another one of my just favorite guys. Those Palutena's guidance conversations are so great.
So, oh look, that's so Peach. Funny. No, that's Daisy. But you haven't seen Peach and Daisy together at the same time, have you?
Makes you think. It makes you think.
Right. It's those kind of things I'm really excited for. Like Palutena's guidance is one thing I'm very happy for. But I really want to know, is Snake's Code of Calls back in this game? That's the biggest mystery right now.
I don't know.
And the only thing
I really don't.
I think they're not.
I mean, David Hayter says like he didn't record anything, But I
we
wonder.
We would have known at this point.
I agree. We would have seen something. I think they got rid of it just because of Palutena's guidance. But
I want David Hayter.
We had our time in Brawl. Enjoy that, and enjoy the spoofs that we get, like that one that you keep showing us on the Slack channel.
Right, the luck content. I mean, sure, we have those.
Yeah.
But yeah, overall, yeah, just wrapping up. And like, yeah, the single player World of Light, I cannot wait. Palutena's guidance. And yeah, those like little tidbits, those little, it's those details, that extra bit of effort from them. Like that extra voice acting is just like, that's what I'm very excited about for this game.
Now, as the only NEP cast member here to have actually won a Smash Brothers tournament, I don't know if I've mentioned that before.
Sir.
Oh my god.
What
god, you're trash. You're trash.
Watch it,
I wasn't trash in that tournament, that's for sure.
Watch it, man. Your nose is getting long.
No, that would only be long if I lied. I have the proof that I won.
Yeah,
no, your nose,
for the record,
your nose is getting long
but
because of
Smash
your
Bros.
Ego.
That would be my head's growing, not my nose. Learn your lore. This is why I'm the host, Will. All right, anyway, but what for me, there's just something fun about Smash Brothers, especially starting in Brawl, which for me was technically more in Smash 4, where we could go online and just fight people, you know? Because with the original Smash, with Melee, you were always limited by who you were playing with. So for me, this wasn't a problem with N64 because I didn't have one at first. And so we would always go to my friend's house and we would have, like, you know, epic four-player matchups. And then my cousins had Melee. And so I played Melee for them for a whole summer. And then with Brawl, I brought it to my church and I would play with my friends there. And I had quite the undefeated streak before I got schooled at college. Long story. And then Smash 4 was when I really got to go and do the online matches, which were awesome. And not so awesome when I faced Tyler. he beat me a lot. I think I won one match, maybe.
You did win one.
I did.
I remember that.
Anyway, but there's just something special about Smash Brothers that when you get it, you can't wait to play it. You can't wait to go train and see if you remember your characters. Like, I'm going to jump in and train myself with Ike again, and I'll go into World of Light so I can unlock everybody. I can't wait to try the new characters, because there's a joy for me in trying out the new characters and seeing who I work best with. Like, when I went from the original to Melee, I honestly didn't find anybody that I liked that much. But then when I went to Brawl, I had Ike and I had Pit, and Pokemon Trainer. And then when I went to Smash 4, I actually really liked Charizard as a solo character. And I liked the little Mac for what he could do, and sometimes I could play as Mega Man, but he had a lot of combos I couldn't really get a hold of. And then here I'm excited for King K. Rool and Incineroar. I want to try Simon Belmont, see how the whip works. You know, there's a joy for me in trying out these new characters to see, will I find a new co-main? My main will always be Link and Ike. So, and I'm okay with that, but if I want to have some fun, if I just want to, you know, test my skills in another character, who is going to be my next one that I will do it with? And I look forward to playing Ridley and Inkling and Isabelle. Okay, I'm not going to play Isabelle at all.
Isabelle is maybe popular. You never know.
Isabelle's the worst new character. She's an Echo Fighter.
Hello.
She's not.
She can reel you in. She can literally reel you in with that range.
She should be an Echo Fighter. She more than half her moves are villager moves. Krom is more unique than Isabelle is.
No, she's
not. Jeez.
Moving on. But I'm excited for these new characters. I'm even excited for Piranha Plant and everything.
Okay, but wait. Which new character are you most excited for?
It has to be a tie between Incineroar and King K. Rool. I love Incineroar's Pokemon, but King K. Rool's trailer is always going to be stuck in my head.
Yeah.
And he deserves his Smash Bros. Role. And Ridley is a close third.
What about
doesn't
you,
say that all my characters are very, very big.
There's a cool Game Explained video that I retweeted about what your character pick says about you, and men always, not always, but by and large, pick the big monster characters.
I think I saw that one.
I don't know. I mean, I just picked that because, again, I love Pokemon, so I loved Incineroar. I'm like you, Tyler. I respect King K. Rool, and I like that the fan base was really what tempted what prompted Sakurai, and then Ridley has been begged for, and how can he not play that monster?
Yeah. Kirby and Link transcend gender and all barriers. Everybody, those are the two most popular characters by far, but men love the monster characters and women love the princess characters.
Yeah. And here's another thing that technically defines my characters. All three of them technically killed people.
True.
Ridley killed Mario, King K. Rool killed DDD, and technically Incineroar blasted Ken into a large monitor, which could not have been good for his health. So.
It's, I mean, for yeah, just to answer your question, Tyler. I mean, honestly, I'm not, like, even though he's an echo fan, I'm looking forward to try out Ken because
Yeah, nice, good pick.
Ken is the original, arguably one of the original echo fighters aside from Luigi back in the
No,
day.
no, 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 he is the original Echo Fighter. I mean, Luigi was not a fighter character. He was just a brother, which you could understand. Whereas Ken is his own guy in a fighting game who is exactly like the main character. So he was the original
Will's
Echo.
just referencing Sakurai said, but
I'm just
perhaps
referencing
Luigi was the
Sakurai.
original.
And so yeah, like me trying out Ken, I mean, it just brings back memories back in the day when I played with my brother, honestly. And like a new character, I mean, again, I only briefly touched at Snake and Ike back when I had time with it. But if I want, I really, as I said, I also want to try out King K. Rool and really risk Ridley. And but if anything else, I definitely want to try out Inklings because again, Splatoon has been greatly popular, and just that play style of inking people up for extra damage is kind of an interesting one play style, which I want to try out.
Yeah, that's a good pick. Inkling looks phenomenal. Inkling's dash is Wolf's got a gigantic laser beam when he shoots his gun. Inkling can just dash under it because that's their Inklings. They can swim under the. It's kind of
Right,
cool.
their duck is like, yeah, they're in the floor. Yes,
Yeah,
yes, yes.
yeah. For me, it's King K. Rool and the Belmonts, Simon and Richter. I was leaning Simon heavily originally, but Richter's name is so cool. I love the name Richter. And
Richter.
it like it's like I, so I like them both, but I'm really excited to see those characters. Their range is insane looking, and I love my characters who can space. My sword characters, my guy's Marth. So that's my play style. So those two are going to come naturally to me for sure. I'm really excited for those reps. Plus, there's so much Castlevania music in the game that I'm always going to be playing on Dracula's Castle.
I find it interesting, and this isn't really a Nintendo issue, but technically a third party issue. Okay, so we all know about Konami being jerks and all that with, Kojima and everything. And yet, not only did they give Nintendo two of their most popular characters, arguably, well, three if you include Snake, they gave so much Castlevania music to the game. But then you have Square Enix, who's been one of the biggest supporters of Smash, or sorry, of Nintendo since the launch of the Switch. There's only two Final Fantasy tracks in the entire game. What's up with
I
that?
know. It's
That's
so weird.
weird.
Yeah, it just apparently Square Enix is really stingy about their IPs. That's why a lot of people doubt Sora.
Or Geno.
Or Geno. Yeah, true, true. Although Geno is in as a spirit, so that might actually help Geno's chances because he's in some capacity. So maybe he would be a potential DLC fighter because they do have him in as a spirit.
Possible. Possible. But needless to say, we are all excited for Smash Brothers. We are going to be playing as much as we can. We are actually going to try and get a Twitch channel going just to show us battling each other. And then after the Smash Brothers phase has died down, we can get back to the matter at hand of deciding who is the best Mario Kart person between us. Because
I am
we can keep
clearly the
arguing,
best. I won like every race.
stop, we can keep arguing about what happened and what possibly happened, what actually happened in our last battles with each other. But when it's on Twitch, it's law.
Yeah.
So we'll do our Smash Bros. Thing for however long we want, but then when we want to do something else, we will go and do Mario Kart and we will settle it.
Yeah,
What
we will.
would we call that? Settle it in cart? Sell it and race, we'll figure it out. But yeah, we will get a support. So stay tuned for that. We are going to try and work hard on that. That's one of our goals for NEP 2019 is to get a Twitch channel going for us.
I think I have a good title. Like we'll settle it and nip. I don't know,
Yeah.
something like
I was
that.
just. Oh, never mind. I was making a pun, Will. I wasn't actually that. Our thing is gonna be like any P plays or any P battles or something like that. I don't know. We'll discuss it between the three of us, and then I'll overrule you both because I'm the host. Moving on.
You know, I mean, that's the one thing that's not gonna happen.
No, I know. I know, because you'll be running the channel, Tyler. I've already decided that. So.
The power of editing.
That's one way to look at it. All right. So with that, we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast, Tyler.
Yes, our poll question was
2 weeks ago.
How will Sony not showing up to E3 affect Nintendo? And 57% of you said it will affect Nintendo negatively, which is very interesting.
Oh, really?
You want to talk about how time flies? I remember when that was like the biggest topic of the week, and now it feels like that was a lifetime ago.
It does.
Right.
Yeah. All right. So I'll give you guys the option. We can either do a poll about what we expect to happen at the Game Awards, or we can continue our Smash Brothers discussion and ask the people listening what they're looking forward to the most in Smash Brothers Ultimate. What do you think?
I think the latter one was actually good because, again, there's a lot. The game is packed up with so many features. I think that's a good question to ask the audience.
So we have the ability to do four options, right, Tyler? Mm-hmm. On a poll?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so our poll question for this week, leading up to the release of Smash Bros. Ultimate, is what are you looking forward to most in hashtag Smash Bros. Ultimate or Super Smash Bros. Ultimate? Whatever you want, Tyler. Put them all in. All of it. Number one, trying out the new characters. Number two, World of Light.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, battling with friends. Four... I don't know, what should be our number four? Like, the other modes? Spirits!
Yes.
Spirits. Oh yeah, Spirits mode, yeah.
New characters, World of Light, battling against friends, / online battles, and then, Spirits mode. That's good. That's a good one. Alright, I'm actually very interested in seeing where this one comes around, so... again, we will not be doing our regularly timed podcast, because the Game Awards, we will be recording the next night, and thus we'll be going live on December 8th, so stay tuned for that. And of course, let us know what you think about everything going on with Nintendo. What do you think about the Black Friday sales? Are you mad that Skyward Sword is not coming to Switch at this time? Did you pre-order Smash Bros. Ultimate? And if not, why not? Did you watch the Detective Pikachu trailer? What do you think about the Nintendo Creators Program? You let us know. So, four. Tellius Tyler and Wario Will, I am Triforce Todd. Ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. We have made it to the end of the level, so raise the flag.